live on the Tuesday Night Blitz. It's the Asylum Fantasy Football Show.
Yeah, that one will wake you up there right at the first, wasn't it?
Might have been a little loud off the start.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, as we're coming onto a Thanksgiving week starting week 12 of the NFL season, which is very bad because most fantasy leagues have 13 games and maybe 14, but we're getting right down towards the end, and that is bad news.
Yeah, most standard leagues, you are 2 weeks away from the playoffs. You're in crunch time. If it's anything like any league, I mean, you are either 6-5 or 5-6, so it's definitely crunch time. So check us out if you have any questions. Hit us up, asylumfantasyfootball.com, at asylumfootball on Twitter. We'll answer them all real time as Rick flings his pen around.
That's right. And we are also on 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the Rock.
Hey, if you're local, check us out there. Let us know what you think of the show at asylumfootball@gmail.com. Well, Rick, let's not screw around too much. We got a jam-packed show tonight, a ton of headlines. We've had a lot of weeks where not a whole lot was going on, and we had to scratch for headlines. Not this week. We got three games on Thursday, obviously, with the Thanksgiving games. We're going to break those down, at least give you some start-sit scenarios coming out of that. Typical game ball, stinky sock, and Rick has some other things he wants to go over. So just all kinds of madness tonight, so let's just jump right into it. I think the biggest news, Rick, obviously Shady McCoy goes out of last week's game with a concussion late in the game where they were getting just crushed. Status still up in the air. I think he's on step two of the new five-step concussion. I don't even know what you call it, the testing they do to see if they're ready to go. Guy who's been, you know, a little disappointing, but still been Shady McCoy, and I'd be a big hit to fantasy owners if he can't play.
You're not kidding. Yeah, he's been a little disappointing, but he's still, seventh in scoring and running backs for, PPR leagues. And, I'll tell you what, you've drafted him, you've been relying on him, and this is where drafting depth comes in handy, I'll tell you what, and you better start checking around. If you're one of these guys that only carry two running backs thinking nothing ever happens to you, you're in trouble now.
Yeah, you're definitely in big trouble. So what are your thoughts, Rick? I guess we have to ask. I think you have to go into this week assuming he's not going to play. You don't know how serious it is. Could be limited even if he does come back. They have to be careful. What are your thoughts on Bryce Brown, whatever the heck his name is? Any faith in this guy whatsoever?
I have to certainly monitor McCoy and plan on playing him. If not, obviously Bryce Brown wasn't on your roster. Maybe worth picking up and stashing, but I'm certainly not going to just run out and throw him in my lineup.
No, and I mean, it's not like McCoy's been going out and rushing 25, 30 times as he could have in the past and should have previously.
They haven't been able to.
No, they haven't, and even still, you're looking at 15 carries. He's kind of got the Jamal Charles syndrome going on. He's not getting a lot of carries. Where he's been big is in PPR, and I don't know Mr. Brown's prowess catching the ball out of the backfield, but two games away from the playoffs, if I need to win one, I hope you've drafted some depth and you're not counting on this guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Bryce Brown's a good player. However, you just don't want to risk your playoff life on this guy.
Yeah.
Hey, let's jump in the chat room. We've got a question here.
And
we're going to try to answer that.
We apologize. I know we have some people trying to call in too, Rick. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to answer these phones and I keep losing these guys. So keep trying, guys. We'll try and get to you. I don't know if it's Skype or if it's Blog Talk or what's going on, but I keep losing you. So if we can't get to you, I apologize. I'll keep trying though.
All right. Okay. I am in a non-PPR league. I've been hearing a lot about Randall Cobb and was wondering if I should try and trade away any of the following for him.
Okay, so Randall Cobb's still available is what I'm hearing.
Well, trading, obviously somebody has him.
Okay.
Okay, Percy Harvin, Andre Johnson, or Julio Jones.
Oh, wow.
And he adds, I think Percy has the worst schedule and Andre has the best. Okay, I tell you what, boy, for Randall Cobb, if you listen to the show, what was it, I guess Friday,
yeah.
I was putting Cobb behind Lance Moore.
Yeah.
And actually even slightly behind Amendola in PPR, but he's non-PPR, so that makes a big difference. Andre, I'm not sold that he's going to bust out and be Andre all over again.
Had that massive week this week, but does it continue? I don't know. There's not going to be a lot of games where Matt Schaub throws for 500 yards, unfortunately.
However, you know, Andre's stock certainly has taken a rise, and if you could get Cobb and maybe somebody else to solidify your lineup, that might not be a bad way to go.
Yep. I'll tell you what, on the surface, it looks crazy, but as you break it down, Harvin banged up. I don't know if we expected to see him back this week, probably. I had to imagine. He's too dynamic for me.
Right.
I'm not nuts about Ponder, that Vikings offense, but Harvin's too dynamic. Holy Jones, that's such a big letdown this year, but I don't know what to make of him. I just, how do you let him go? You probably drafted him in the second round. So I think the question for me comes, do you give up Andre Johnson for Randall Cobb? You said non-PPR, right?
Or Percy Harvin or Julio Jones.
Yeah, I'm not touching either one of those guys. I think it's Andre
But you're not
Johnson.
Trading for them. He's asking to get rid of them to pick up Randall Cobb.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not
All
giving
right.
up Harvin. I'm not giving
I
up Jones.
I got you. All right.
I'm considering Andre Johnson. However, in a non-PPR especially, you know, that's what this is, right? Did I pay enough attention? Non-PPR,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
You know, I was going to make the point later on tonight in the game ball segment. I'll go ahead and do it now. Randall Cobb had 9 grabs last week with Jennings out. He's become the number one target. So in a PPR league, I would consider it. Otherwise, you know, Cobb went 9 for 74. So he's only averaging 8 yards a catch. I wouldn't hate you for doing it. I may consider it. You want to be part of that Green Bay team starting to roll a little bit. However, it's tough. You know, I'm going to say
it is.
What do you say? And then I'll piggyback off of you.
Well, you know, you got Nelson coming back. And I'm going to assume that Jordy Nelson is going to remain healthy. And we know the player that Nelson can be. James Jones has been quiet the last couple of weeks, but let's not forget he's got 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's also that to take into consideration. These touchdowns are getting spread around some. Percy Harvin, I do agree that Minnesota probably has the worst schedule.
Yeah, no
from
question.
From here on out. And I'm not all that thrilled with Ponder. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know if I'd want to get rid of any of them for Cobb.
No.
I'm going to say no, I would not.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I was thinking maybe I was missing something. I was taking the easy way out and asking you first. But I agree 100%. I really do. It's just there's too much upside with those other guys. And as much as I like Cobb and as much as Cobb is a low-end, I won't even say low end. He's a solid number two receiver. These guys, especially with what Andre Johnson did, I can see your point. Maybe strike while the iron's hot. Johnson's been down. He has that huge game. He's not going to do that again or very often. But I can't take that risk. When you drafted those 3 receivers, you thought, boy, I'm in a good spot now. And I think I ride it out. I really do. It's tough. I like the idea. I like taking a chance this time of year. But that's just too much of a chance for me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. And, yeah, you know, I'm sitting here thinking while you were talking, sitting here looking at the 3 of them, I would almost be tempted to, I think Julio may be my first one to go, even though I wouldn't do it.
It's
don't get
possible.
Me wrong.
I think by the numbers, you're right. But, boy, just as soon as you do that, wouldn't Julio bust out and be what he was last year and what you thought he was going to be this year?
Exactly.
And that he was week 1 and 3 or 1 and 2, or he had a couple games at the beginning of the year. He's been banged up, I think. He could get going at any time.
And you know, and that's the decisions you get, especially this time of year. Now, I might have this with, you know, one caveat, you know, if he's whatever, 5 and 6, something like that.
And you need a splash.
Yeah, maybe you're looking to make that move to get to the playoffs. Maybe go ahead and try one of them. You know, like I said, maybe Andre stocks up. You can get more than just Cobb form, something on that nature. But if you're sitting pretty good and you're going to be in the playoffs, I would certainly ride it out myself.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you, Rick, when you look at it that way, depending on your situation. If you're in pretty good shape for the playoffs, I like that. That triumphant, is that a word? I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Going into the playoffs, if you got to have 1 or 2, look at the schedule. Basically, you're down to a 2-game season. Playoffs sort of become a coin flip, I think. think in a lot of cases, once you get in, you just got to get in the dance, and then whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Right.
I've gotten knocked out of the playoffs with 13-0 teams before, and I've won championships with 6-7 teams. It's the playoffs are such a crapshoot in fantasy football. So if you got to do something dramatic to get in the dance, I say go for it. And in that point, it may be Julio. No, I think it's still Andre Johnson for me. And I like your strategy of throw you a little something in more, a number three running back, something like that, something that you may need going forward that might help you out in the playoffs as well. If you're sitting pretty good and you're going to make the playoffs, I'd say have the three steadiest guys you can going into the playoffs. And I think it's the three you have out of that group of four.
Yeah, and he just kind of added while you were talking there, he'll make the playoffs with no problem, and he thinks he'll probably stand pat with the three that he has.
Yeah,
I hope we're right, because, I mean, that's just personally what I do. I mean, if I've gotten this far.
I tend to be conservative.
Yeah.
I think we both do tend to be conservative in these things, and in that case, I like the thought, do something a little dramatic. But if you're in and you've gotten this far and you're comfortable making the playoffs with that team, why upset the apple cart for strictly for upside?
Exactly. That was a great question, too.
Absolutely. That was a tough one. We're just stammering all over that one. And speaking of stammering.
Well, that's all the time.
All right. We'll catch you on Friday. But you want to talk about a mess, Rick. How about our Pittsburgh Steelers? What a mess. Byron Leftwich. I wish Taylor Swift had a song for him, too, honestly. Third play of the game, makes that fantastic run, dives into the end zone, and hurts himself. This guy has got to be out of the league. So, obviously, Leftwich is out again. Charlie Batch to start versus Cleveland. No fantasy impact. Just wanted to bring that up. Signed Brian Hoyer, who spent a couple years holding the clipboard for Tom Brady. Again, no impact. Now, here's what's interesting, Rick, and I want to talk about it, and not from a homer standpoint, which is what I fear I do sometimes. You're a little more level-headed with these things. Signed Plaxico Burress. That's interesting. Not this week it's not interesting with Charlie Batch in the first weekend. As we come down the stretch, as we get into the fantasy playoffs, what do you make of Plaxico Burress? What I find interesting, to look back to, was it last year or the year before, that Ben Roethlisberger was campaigning for the Steelers to sign him. Roethlisberger wanted him here badly.
Yeah, I believe it was before he signed with the Jets, I think.
Yeah, so it would have been 2 years ago, I think. Well, no, that would have been
last year.
So just something interesting. Again, no impact early on. You've seen wide receivers move teams, and there's not a lot of impact. No impact with Charlie Batch at quarterback, or when he gets hurt in the first quarter, Brian Hoyer. It could be a little fascinating with Ben Roethlisberger coming back.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe this is more football-wise, because this might take too long to happen before it's fantasy relevant.
I mean, I can see them, why they're making the move. I mean, obviously, Brown's still hurt. Cotri got broken ribs now. Wallace is dropping stuff all over the place. At least Plax will hold on to the football.
Yeah, and he's a big body, a team that struggled in the red zone. It's just interesting. He could have a year like he did, was it last year with the Jets, where he wasn't getting a lot of grabs, but he'd come out of every game with a touchdown, some two-touchdown game. You'd see stat lines of three grabs for 14 yards and a touchdown. Just interesting. They ran that fake this week to Wallace.
And he's certainly going to have more opportunities if Ben gets back here. I would say he'd have more opportunities with Charlie Batch in there than with Sanchez.
Well, who wouldn't? You know,
I'd
take Charlie Batch over Mark Sanchez most weeks, no doubt about it. Sticking with the Steelers, Antonio Brown still questionable, so that makes the Burris news even more interesting. Could be with Cotri out. Could be making an impact as early as Sunday against the Browns.
Yeah, who knows?
And non-fantasy related thing, just think I find it interesting. I don't know how many Steeler fans we have listening. I think with our friends at 88.1 WSRU, the voice of the Rock, we got a lot of local fans. Didn't realize this happened Sunday, just caught this afternoon. Ray Rice walked out of Heinz Field on Sunday with that terrible towel on his head.
Well, I actually put out a tweet today, and, you know, I actually, you know, hey, Ray Rice, have you heard of the curse of Cope?
Yeah.
And I said, you will.
Ask Lindell White, ask T.J. Houshmandzadeh. I don't care who plays quarterback in 2 weeks when the Steelers go back to Baltimore. Steelers are going to win that game. And this could be setting up for a deep playoff run now, because it's just interesting. How many times have you seen it?
I know. And it's karma. It is karma.
No question about it. So let's move on from the Steelers. Colin Kaepernick, Rick, had a nice night last night. Jim Harbaugh basically throwing it out there that he expects him to start regardless if Alex Smith is healthy this week, says he likes to go with the hot hand. That's interesting.
I tell you what, he put a spark in that offense. That's one thing. I mean, they just look like a machine out there. And they're going against, what, the number two scoring defense in the league.
He schooled them. He really did. Running the ball, running that wildcat. He's an interesting player.
Yes, he was. And or still is. But performance last night, that was fun to watch. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. And Chicago, conversely, just didn't have any clue. It didn't look like that. That was one thing last week in the starts and sits. I was trying to get a feel on that, and I kind of lean towards Jason Campbell because of the experience, maybe being a more viable start. But I'll tell you what, Kaepernick looked so much more seasoned in there than Campbell did.
Yeah, absolutely blew him away. Campbell, a veteran, a fair quarterback in his day, started a lot of games and just looked like a fish out of water. Big news for one of our teams, Rick Willis-McGahee, out 6 to 8 weeks with a knee injury. Just devastating going into the fantasy playoffs.
Oh, I'll tell you what, and, that's significant, too, for Denver as well, because I don't think Hillman is going to be nearly as dynamic as McGahee is in there, that's for sure.
No, what do you see? Lance Ball, Ronnie Hillman. Hillman seemed to get most of the work on Sunday after McGahee went out. We heard a lot about him in the preseason. This is a guy, in a lot of cases, got drafted ahead of McGahee. There was a lot of talk that Hillman was going to start. McGahee beat him out. You wonder, now you got Lance Ball, you got Hillman, no Sean Marino's probably going to be active. I think stash all these guys if you can get a hold of them, but you're going to have to wait a week or two and see if somebody shakes out as Manning's favorite, and we all know that's who's going to make the ultimate decision. Or are you going to have that dreaded committee like you saw out of Pittsburgh on Monday night where had Isaac Redman not got hurt? Now, you'd have seen all three of those guys have equal touches as you saw with Dwyer and Mendenhall. I think you could have the same situation in Denver.
I think the key is Peyton Manning, of course. And as long as he's running the show, I think someone's going to have success there. But I think McGahee just gave them that little bit more oomph at the running back position. I think they're going to be okay, but fantasy-wise, I think you're going to suffer a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. McGahee, a guy you probably drafted as a three, worked him into a two. Yeah, you're in pretty rough shape there. The hits keep coming in Arizona. Rick Lyon, Ryan Lindley supplants. John Skelton is the starter, much to the chagrin of many a Larry Fitzgerald owner. I don't know what they see in this Lindley kid that they weren't seeing out of Skelton. But obviously you're not starting any of these guys. The true fantasy impact comes to Larry Fitzgerald coming off one grab for 11 yards. Just a disaster out there in the desert.
Yeah, and the chagrin ought to be coming to the Arizona fans because they have nothing out there. They have Larry Fitzgerald, and that is it. Their defense showed flashes at the beginning, but, they're always on the field, it seems like. They never score. They can only do so much. I'm certainly not knocking them. They're probably a good middle of the road, maybe even in the upper half of the league. But, they just have nothing on offense.
Yeah, it's just a disaster. And speaking of disasters in the desert, fantastic news, Rick. I'm sure you're excited as you get ready for the fantasy playoffs. Beanie Wells is healthy and ready to play this week. So
Beanie is... he's been on my radar for at least a second anyway.
So I have to ask, Rick, I know what the answer is, but I have to ask, what do you make of Beanie Wells coming back? Are you even going to bother picking him up? Or are you going to waste a waiver claim on him?
No.
No, just that simple.
I'm not. I'm just not worried about it at all. And, I've gotten this far without him.
Well, news just got to our board that Beanie Wells has come back.
Yeah. Oh, and here's now that we've processed it.
All right, so we know how you feel about Beanie Wells, and let's move on from that. Another big piece of news, especially, I don't know if our boy Fantasy Taz Jim Day's in the chat room tonight, but his man crush, his favorite person on the planet, Rob Gronkowski. You know what? Good for Bill Belichick. There you are, kicking a field goal. That was 3 minutes left, so I think he kicked a field goal. But kicking a field goal, 3 minutes left, up 50, have Gronkowski on the field goal team and breaks his forearm, and it's going to be out for an extended period of time. So huge news. If you spend a first-round pick on a tight end named Rob Gronkowski, you may find your team suffering a little bit.
You're going to find it suffering a lot, because I tell you what, you know, as much as I would not and still would not draft a tight end in the first round, I mean, this guy, he has just been huge. 10 touchdowns, 746 yards, 53 catches. I mean, for a tight end, that's just phenomenal.
Just stupid.
And when you lose that, you're in big trouble.
Absolutely. Aaron Hernandez, his stock you would think would rise dramatically. However, he's still up in the air with his injury. So I don't know. Is there going to be a run on Vicente Shanco for this week?
I don't know. You almost have to go in with Hernandez with a little trepidation because he's coming off. He wasn't even talked about coming back until all of a sudden he broke that forearm. Now they're trying to rush him back. But you're talking about ankle, you know. That's tough stuff. So I think Shanko is going to be getting a significant playing time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So something to keep an eye on. I think the tight end in that offense has some value. I don't know who you play him over, who you trust him over. Hope Aaron Hernandez comes back, and I think you could see him putting up similar numbers here real soon.
If that ankle holds up, there's no doubt about it. I agree there.
I'm joking to death here. Moving on, in my biggest, smelliest sock I can find goes to our friend Dwayne Bowe this week. He's questionable next week with a neck. Didn't play in the second half after having a good case of the drops in the first half. Takes the goose egg for me in a week where I could have beat Mr. Briggs had I had anything come out of this guy.
Well, you can say that, but I also had Denarius Moore in my lineup who gets one of my stinky socks, one catch for 9 yards. So, yeah, I got a 1.9-point advantage on you with that wide receiver war, but I really don't think it was too significant.
Well, probably not, but I think the point is Dwayne Bowe questionable this coming week with a neck. I'll tell you what, he's been borderline unplayable when healthy. Going into a game questionable, even if he does play this week, I'm not touching this guy. And you're really going to have to watch. He's going to have a couple of games going out where he's going to put up some numbers and you're going to regret having him on the bench. But for your peace of mind and for the sake of your fantasy team, there's got to be somebody like a Denarius Moore, Rick, somebody like that you have on your bench, somebody you can get a hold of. That I think it's just time to give up on Dwayne Bowe this year. Of course, the next thing I had on my list is Castle been benched for Quinn. It's 50-50 who it's going to be going into next week. Outside of Jamaal Charles, you just have to get away from that Kansas City offense completely.
I agree. And, you know, what can you say? It would have been interesting to see, if Bowe hadn't gotten hurt. It was one of those games we talked about. When the game's out of hand, that's when he gets garbage time points.
But he's hurt this time.
But he's hurt. As far as giving up on him, yeah. Hey, 626 yards. He's got 49 catches. He's 26th scoring in the league in PPR for wide receivers. So that still makes him
a number three receiver.
A number three receiver, exactly.
You drafted him as a
you drafted low him probably one, a low I one. Two. So yeah, I mean he's probably making flex position, and that's about it in a pinch.
Yeah, and you have to wonder. And I have a team, Rick, that I had Dwayne Bowe. Also picked up in the next round, Stevie Johnson. I thought, man, I fell into it here. I don't remember who my one is, but I had a legit one, and I got those two as my two and three. Neither one of them are playable, and now at this point, playing Denarius Moore actually back to that name in that league. Or no, I'm sorry, it's James Jones I have playing in that other spot. So I'm deciding between these two every week, and you want to talk about the frying pan or the flame, or what do you old people say?
I mean, that is just horrid listening to you try to butcher something up. I mean, that is just terrible. Hey, but
so you're going to bail me out of this one. You're just going to leave me twisted,
From the frying pan to the fire? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, there's a good question in the chat room.
That sounded better when you said it.
Would anyone drop DeSean Jackson for Cecil Shorts? I would do it in a heartbeat because I love Cecil Shorts.
I think so, no doubt about it. Does it again this week against a really good defense. And what was a strange game, granted. But Cecil Shorts, he's become legitimate. DeSean Jackson up and down. That Eagles team's just a mess. I'd do it in a heartbeat, no question.
Yes, indeed. No doubt about that.
So, Rick, that's all I had for headlines. We'll move on, Pat. God, we had a half an hour worth of headlines. We're going to run out of show here. So you're listening to the Asylum Fantasy Football Show at asylumfantasyfootball.com, the Tuesday Blitz at btrff.com, and locally on 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock. Let's jump into, Rick, let's talk about the Thursday games, the Thanksgiving Day games, three games this week, Houston, Detroit, Washington, Dallas, New England and the Jets. Now, here's something, Rick. I don't know about you. I find this, fantasy-wise, one of the most difficult weeks. Everybody's questionable this week. Everybody in the league. Look it up. Everybody in the league's questionable. You got three games on Thursday. You got a lot of lineup decisions to make. And it's tough, and you really got to pay attention going into Thursday.
Yeah, this is a very significant Thursday as well. You got Brady playing of course, who was it? Dallas, of course, and Detroit, Houston. I mean, there's some real...
some big-time fantasy numbers playing on Thursday. So let's look at the games, Rick. Houston, Detroit, obviously, you have your, you know, your Megatron playing. You're going to start him no matter what, your Arian Foster no matter what. Let's talk about Matt Schaub coming off that big performance last week. I don't think Big describes it well enough. Let's talk about him and what you think he can do against a suspect Detroit defense.
Well, considering he tied for second all time and as far as yards, you know,
not going to repeat that.
No, I'm not going to do that. Are they even? See, that's the thing with Houston. It's really strange this year. We've talked about it over the last month or so. How he's almost worked his way, depending on who you had on your bench. We brought up, I think Andrew Luck was one because that's one of your teams.
Decision I face every week.
And he had actually worked his way to the bench against Luck. You know, I think Carson Palmer, conversely, same way we're talking, people might have him, and he would be behind him. Now, do you want to throw him right back in, knowing you got Carson Palmer, say, on your bench, thinking you're going to get that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you do. It was a nice week. You know he's capable of it. You've seen it out of him before. But generally, if this team is playing well, they're going to run the ball. And that was the difference this week. They were down 14 to the worst football team to ever walk out of a locker room in the history of the NFL. They found themselves down 14. This is what they had to do. So, okay, good he can do it. Good for him. Good for Andre Johnson. You can't assume they're going to be down 14 at any point to Detroit. And as long as they're ahead or they're in a close game, it's going to go through Arian Foster. It's going to go through, you know, Ben Tate, if he's healthy, whoever's behind him. It's a guy you just can't trust, not based on skill, not based on anything, just based on attempts. And you're not going to see games like this out of Matt Schaub very often.
No, and I'm not sitting here, you know, supporting the idea of just benching him because you don't think he's going to get 527 yards.
No.
This is a guy you probably drafted two quarterbacks on your team. You're not one of these guys with Breeze on and then drafted Matt Schaub as well. So
you have a situation like me where you have Schaub and Andrew Luck, or you have Schaub and who are these lower level guys that are performing? RG3, that wouldn't even be a question ever.
Right.
But that's the situation you're facing. I don't know if I trust Schaub to put him over anybody else you have if you drafted Schaub and Jay Cutler. Now, in that case, with Cutler out, you're going to play Schaub, but generally, week to week, you're going to play Cutler. These are the situations you're in if you have a Matt Schaub.
Where are you going to play Cutler? That's an interesting question there, bringing up some of the quarterback scoring. Cutler is way down. And, you know, granted, he missed a game or so, but he's just not produced worth any kind of drafting that you...
I thought you were going to curse again, and I'm going to have to edit.
No, never. You know me better than that. But let's look here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He is 12th in quarterback scoring. So he is...
He's a number one quarterback. Okay, well, there you have it. Where's Andrew Luck fall on that list?
Andrew Luck is number 10.
Okay, so that's the situation.
Another guy that popped into my head who's also in this game, Matt Stafford, number 11.
Yeah.
And see, they're real low end.
But are you ever realistically playing Schaub over Stafford? That's the problem you face. Because, you know, I think the performance is there, but the upside for Stafford's so much higher.
Again, I don't think anyone drafted Stafford – probably has Schaub on their bench either.
You're probably right.
You know what
you're
I'm saying?
Probably right. You drafted Stafford and thinking
you might
that's
have Flacco
good enough.
Or,
yeah.
or something on that line.
You're right. You got him and Andy Dalton or something that you were planning on playing for 1 week.
Interesting stat. Cam Newton, 14th in quarterback scoring. He's not a number one quarterback right now. Guy that you just brought up, Andy Dalton is. He's about, what is that, 7th or 8th.
Wow, so, that's stunning there.
So, I mean, you know, you got Breeze is 1, Rodgers 2, Brady, Peyton. Boy, that's familiar.
Yeah,
it?
Boy, who'd have saw that guy? That went right in the order you thought it would. That's yeah. weird. That never happened.
Yeah, 5th is RG3, 6th is Matt Ryan, and then Freeman, and then Dalton, Carson Palmer, number
Freeman,
9.
Freeman, Dalton, and Palmer, 7, 8, 9.
Seven,
that
eight,
you
nine.
Didn't see coming. It
exactly.
actually surprises me. You know who those top four were and how it should be. I think we talked a lot and heard a lot of people say somebody's going to jump into that mix you didn't expect. Looked for the longest time like it was going to be Matt Ryan, and he
yeah.
may get back up in there. But those four going just like they thought they were, and then from 5 down, it's just not the way you would
right.
would have seen it go at all.
The one that doesn't surprise me much, and I took a lot of flack in the preseason, was Josh Freeman. I really liked what I saw of him 2 years ago. Really flat out disappointed
yeah,
me last
year.
Yeah,
it was an awful year last
and
year.
I really
you
thought,
went into last year with him as your number one.
Yeah,
your
yeah.
A number one, and he killed you all year.
He did.
And here he is doing now what you expected out of him then.
Right, but I'm glad to see it. And it just, to me, right there, that tells me give you know you what a big-time receiver does for a team. You know, Brandon Marshall, Chicago, Vincent Jackson, Tampa Bay. Take Vincent Jackson from San Diego. Look what you got.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now you got Phillip Rivers looking like a complete bum. He's a guy you'd have probably talked about in that top 10 in the preseason, at least in last year's preseason. I agree 100%. You take V-Jax away, he's just another guy.
Exactly. Okay.
All right, well, let's talk about Rick. Washington, Dallas, I don't think any big surprises. Any, you know, I'll tell you what, Washington, so bad against the run, 28th, 29th against the run, maybe even 30th now. Felix Jones, DeMarco Murray doesn't practice again. Felix Jones, look, the numbers haven't been there. The kid's getting in the end zone. I think, now we don't have bye weeks this week, but if you got injuries,
right.
if you're a Shady McCoy owner, I'm going to play Felix before I play this Brown character. He's a guy you might be able to slip into a flex if you're dealing with injuries.
Yeah, and I mean, Felix, find the end zone. Dallas starting to play a little bit better. They're still sloppy, and really they make you nervous just
yeah.
watching them. But they're 5-5, and let's face it, the Giants, I think, have Green Bay this week.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
could certainly be tied for the lead, right? In what, 2-3 weeks ago, they were 3 games back.
Yeah, I have no question about it. You look at Washington, huge game out of RG3. Alfred Morris, numbers not like they were at the beginning of the year, but I think you're still starting him every week knowing what he can do.
How do you see this game? I mean, just fantasy out the door just for a second here.
I'll tell you what, this one's tough because this game's always a coin toss. This is one of those division games you talk about that doesn't throw the records out. It's true in this matchup. One thing I look for, if you're in a 16-team league and you're scratching for a wide receiver, how many times has Santana Moss done something crazy in this Washington-Dallas game?
The bad penny keeps
yeah,
rearing
there,
his head
there
like
he
last
is.
Week. One catch, 61 yards
just
and a touchdown.
Just a stupid catch, too. Just a
yeah.
throwaway, and he managed to pull it down. It was basically the equivalent of a punt is what RG3 was trying to do rather than take the hit.
Yeah.
But, you know, how does this game go? I'm not sure. I think I'd lean Dallas, Washington, coming off that big game. Washington tends to disappoint. That's just what they do. Dallas loves to do it, too. I think Dallas at home on Thanksgiving has the advantage there. But watch out for Santana Moss if you'd find yourself in some weird bind. This is a guy you're never going to feel comfortable. But I think about in a flex spot, he always comes up huge in this Dallas game in Dallas. Like that game Monday
yeah.
night a few years ago. Just something to keep in the back of your mind if you're in a bind.
Yeah, and he's just one of those kind of guys. It was the one of the starts I had last week, wide receiver, Brandon Stokley, same way what he's doing in Denver. He just seems to find the end zone at the right time. You know?
Yeah, always does, no doubt about it. And then what's certain to be the biggest barn burner of the night, Rick, this one should end about 72-71 with two of the best offenses in the NFL with the New England Patriots traveling to the Meadowlands to take on Mark Sanchez and the New York Jets.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, this will be a barn burner, I'm sure. But, hey, this is the NFL. Who saw a shootout between Houston and Jacksonville last week?
Yeah, that's just it. I don't know. Like, bottom line is you're playing everybody from New England. One thing I wanted to bring up with the Gronkowski injury, a guy who's disappointed a little bit, and a guy we haven't been very high on in Brandon Lloyd. If you take the tight end, you know, let's say Hernandez doesn't play either and they got Shanko in there, he's not going to be as big a part of the offense as those other two. I think Brandon Lloyd would be the guy who may benefit from this with the tight end out.
I tell you, I've said it all year. I'm just not sold on this guy. I'm not sold on him really making an impact in this offensive scheme. He's not used.
Brandon Lloyd's going to have a big game with Gronkowski out.
You know, see, that's the difference. See, when I do it, it really means something because I've seen. See, you just kind of, you might as well just do this. Brandon Lloyd's going to have a big game. It's the same thing. But, you know.
You suck.
Yeah, or that. But when I do it, it really means something.
We're just pushing buttons now.
Okay. All right, we're done.
Oh, that part of the show's over?
Yeah. The fun and frivolity is over with. But he is, what is that, 30, God, like 35th. Or 34th in the wide receiver scoring fantasy-wise.
So that's a low-end wide receiver three.
I'm telling you, I just don't buy this guy.
All right, Rick.
What is a big game to somebody like that now?
Yeah, 6-7 grabs, 80, 90 yards, and a touchdown. That's going to be a big game for him.
Yeah.
You don't see it coming. All right, let me ask you this question, because I'm going to be faced with this after my Dwayne Bowe rant from earlier. This week, Dwayne Bowe or Brandon Lloyd?
Dwayne Bowe probably isn't even going to be playing.
Okay, well, assume he does. Or going forward, then. Let's put it that way. Going forward. This week is a little different with the injury to Bowe. Yeah. Going forward, with Gronkowski out, if Hernandez is out, I'm more comfortable with Lloyd than
Lloyd. Yeah, I probably would go Lloyd.
Same scenario, Brandon Lloyd, Stevie Johnson.
Johnson.
It's close, though.
Very
closer than you thought it would be 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, very close. No doubt. Oh, okay. I have to answer a little comment in the chat room.
Okay.
Because I'm waiting to hear it. He's waiting to hear Sean Green will be player of the game. Now, just wait a minute now. No, he won't.
No, he won't. He may be the player on the Jets side of the ball, but that's not saying much, yeah.
I tell you what, Sean Green... Like I said, all year, he's a good flex spot. He's going to get his 18 carries a game. He may find the end zone. You can't go anything higher than that with him. So he's kind of like, you know, if you don't know by now, you know.
Yeah, he is
what
he is.
They're just not going to do it, and he's adequate in a certain flex spot.
Yeah, so the breakdown of the New England, the New York Jets game play, all of your Patriots play, only Sean Green, and we'll move on from there. So, Rick, what do you want to do now? We got about 20 minutes left. You want to do some game balls, some stinky socks? You want to do your – what do you got there? Stock just, watch? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, we just kind of revisit
right.
Some of the fantasy stocks.
Why don't
stocks
you jump
here
on that?
And, okay, just for an example, you're sitting there – with the stock certificate, because you drafted Mike Wallace.
Okay.
12th pick of the fourth round. All right.
12th pick of the fourth round. Okay.
Yeah, that's his average ADP in mid-August.
Okay.
Or end of August, whenever it was. Okay. He's 19th in wide receivers fantasy scoring.
Okay.
All right, so now.
I think I got my money's worth.
You
out
got
of
your
me.
Dividends.
Probably.
From okay.
From what I expected. I think I drafted him with the last pick of the fourth round, with everything that was going on with the holdout. I expected more from him. I was thinking I was getting a steal there. If he came back, I was taking a risk. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I think for what I paid, I got what I paid for. It's hurting me now. If Ben comes back, it'll start paying me some more dividends. But I think I didn't get what I hoped for, but I'm getting what I paid for. How about that?
Okay. Now, I'm not going to give you... I'm going to just let you assume that you're holding the stock certificate. You're going to tell me if you think you got any dividends from this guy.
Okay.
Okay, you're holding the stock certificate for Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz. Boy, that's tough, because here's what happened. I made a ton of profit off of him for 6 or 7 weeks, and then for the last couple of weeks, he's been crushing me. Guy, I'm going to guess. I don't have it in front of me. I think that's the point. You have it there. I'm going to guess I paid a third-round price tag for him. Probably.
Very good. Average 8th pick in the third round.
So I think he's got me to this point. I'm struggling to get in the playoffs now, but he got me to the point where I am now. I think I got my money's worth and maybe a little more out of Victor Cruz.
Okay, I would have to go along with you. And you are right, the last few weeks you've really been struggling, but he's still 7th in wide receiver scoring.
Yeah, he was that
we're talking
big
PPR.
He was that big at the beginning of the year.
Okay, Sidney Rice.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, based upon expectations, what I expected out of him, I may not have even had to have drafted him. You might have just, he was a penny stock, if that. So he is paid. How about that? You like that?
Yeah, that was a good one there.
He really was. So he has so far exceeded what I paid for him. You know, he's not going to win me a championship, but he's kept me afloat during some bye weeks, no question about it. I think definitely. I mean, he's a boom. What's good and bad? Bulls good and bears bad.
Yeah,
right?
Bulls are good.
He's definitely a bull. I'll give him a bull.
Okay, let's do the run the numbers.
Was that
on
a dumb
Sidney
question?
Rice. He is average 7th pick in the 9th round. He is 38th in wide receiver scoring.
Okay, so.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that wide receiver 3 goes to 36.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's the last couple weeks. It's the what have you done for me lately.
Oh, there's
scenario.
No doubt. Obviously, you know, the ticket price has gone up here a little
My
bit.
My point is I had no expectations of Sidney Rice when I drafted him. None.
Right.
Absolutely none. I was in leagues, Rick, where he didn't get drafted. So I had no expectations for him. I've been able to squeeze a little bit out of him, take a little bit of profit, if you will. So I'm going to say, you know, exceeded value, exceeded expectations.
All right. And I can't hit on some of these stocks that are very obvious. Some have really taken a nosedive, like in the chat room, Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah,
that's
terrible.
It's hard to do that when they're hurt.
Hakeem
Greg
Nicks
Jennings is
Enron.
Another one.
Yeah, Greg. No, Jennings is Enron. No question
about it.
Yeah, there
you go.
It.
Okay. Greg Olson.
Greg Olson, okay. Here's a guy who's been he was sort of an afterthought in the tight end scramble this year. I'd rather have bought Heath Miller, but I think a good, safe consolation prize. I don't know, Greg Olson, was he 8th round, 9th round kind of value? And I'm getting comparable from him what I'm getting from, I don't know, Vernon Davis. I'm getting a lot more from him than I'm getting out of Vernon Davis on a week-to-week. I think about what I expected, a little better. I made a little money on Greg Olson this year.
I think in reality you probably made a lot, because he was going 2nd pick in the 11th round, ADP, and he is 8th. He is 8th in tight end scoring.
Yeah, didn't see that coming. And again, he's a point we talked about it. I believe it was it last week or was it Friday, coming off that monster week he had. There's guys like him, like Heath Miller, putting up these numbers that you drafted in the 8th, 9th. What'd you say his ADP was? Do you have it in front of you there?
Yeah, 2nd pick in the 11th round.
Yeah, and instead of spending a 1st-round pick on Gronkowski or Hernandez,
right.
I'll take that every time.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you 100%. Okay, here's one. You holding the stock certificate for Superman himself, Cam Newton.
Oh, boy.
This isn't fact or fiction.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, this is bull or bear here.
Yeah.
Hey, I know what we can do.
Okay.
We either have bull, sort of.
That doesn't sound like a bull.
Or a bear.
That doesn't sound like a bear either.
Can we do?
We have neither a bull nor a bear sound effect. We'll work on that if we do this segment again. We got an elephant. How do we have an elephant, not a cow, for God's sake? This is pathetic. Yeah, Cam Newton, 2nd round, maybe low 1st round, I saw him go, but you paid a 2nd round price for him, and you're getting 7th round dividends out of him right now.
Yeah, he's actually putting up We have a rooster. He's putting up quarterback two numbers. Okay, that's enough of the pigs.
I'm just playing all the animals.
There's
got to be a cow in here somewhere. We got a frog.
I think we're going to leave the stock market here in a minute. We keep this up. Good Lord.
That's an angry cat. They weren't kidding.
Speaking of angry cats.
Okay.
Cam Newton was actually fifth pick in the fourth round.
Very nice.
And he's an angry cat
right now.
Get it, Panther? You know.
I got it. Okay, I got it. I was all over it. Well done.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You were so witty.
Oh, that's
a cowboy, not a horse. Yeah, we don't have a bull and a bear, so well, enough with the sound effects. Sorry, folks.
All right, let's get out some game balls.
All right, what do we got here? Oh, yeah, we got about 15 minutes left, just enough time for that. I'll start this show, Rick. I want to give a game ball to a guy I gave some dap to last week. I gave it to it on Jay Smoo's podcast, Fantasy Six Man. Was it the X's and something podcast? I feel bad. I should really know that.
Double X Project.
There it is. Thank you. But Dez Bryant, 12 grabs. You didn't agree with me much on this one. 12 grabs, 145 yards, and a touchdown. Here's a guy when you're talking stocks. When it's good, it's real good. When it's bad, it's real bad. But this is a guy you've got to have in your lineup every week.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I didn't agree with you. But, you know, being the professional that I am.
I think we're taking it a little far with the sound effect.
That was them cheering for me being such a professional. But I will give you your due for Dez Bryant.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to give out a game ball. Actually showing way more signs than Darren McFadden has shown all year. Marcell Reese gets my game ball.
Yeah, now bear in mind he did it against that Saints team. But to be fair, you and I poo-pooed it too.
And look how many receptions he's had in the last couple of games before that as well, where McFadden wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I really like this guy. He also ran down a touchdown saving fumble return as well, where everyone else
just
couldn't
gave
get
up
him
on
for some
him.
Reason.
He's hustling 19 for 103 on the ground, 4 for 90 in the air, a huge game out of him. Had the good fortune of somebody actually had the guts to stick him in a lineup this week and defeated me with it, so it's certainly a game ball to Marcell Reese.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, a lot of it may have been garbage points, but we really don't care.
Yeah, all right. First stinky sock, Rick, we have to give it. Not a lot of analysis. It was an anomaly. It's not going to happen again, but we'd be completely remiss if we didn't stick a big smelly sock in the face of Matt Ryan. Managed to get over 300 yards, but to throw 5 interceptions, taking a -1 in most fantasy scoring formats, just an overall disaster for Matt Ryan.
Oh, indeed. And that was just horrible. And you know what? They won.
Yeah, they still managed to win the game. How bad are the Arizona Cardinals offensively anyhow?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree 100%. My stinky sock, I gave it earlier, and I just want to reiterate it because it has a lot of odor in it. Denarius Moore, 1 catch for 9 yards.
Yeah.
When Carson Palmer had over 300 yards.
Yeah.
Who'd he throw it to? You know, Marcell Reese, apparently.
Reese, Hayward Bay had 6 grabs.
Brandon Myers, everybody but Denarius Moore.
Everybody but Denarius Moore and Marcell Reese had 6 catches for 60 yards is what the stat line looked to me. A really, really strange game, but I agree 100% with him. You're starting to expect more. You're starting to expect every week production from him, and you just didn't get it this week. My game ball, Rick, not a huge game. It's more the carries I wanted to bring up. James Stark this week gets 25 grabs, only 25 carries, only 74 yards. But what I found interesting, number one was the 25 carries out of that Green Bay team and James Stark's after all the talk in the offseason. But he was also the only running back to have a carry in that game. The only other carry came from Aaron Rodgers. I just find it interesting, and I suppose I give him the game ball just so I can bring him up for discussion. What do we think of James Starks?
I don't think a whole lot of him as far as that goes. In fact, even Mike McCarthy came out in a press conference saying that admitted he made a mistake by not getting Green the ball more. That being said, look, they got Cedric to start with.
Yeah,
for a reason.
You're right.
Because they had no faith in Starks.
We won't fight about Sed again.
And, you know, adequate. Okay, he may be a flex spot, fill your bench. But I just don't think he's going to be getting 25 carries. I mean, you were so adamant about Cedric not getting 25 carries. Do you really think Starks is going to get 25 carries all the time?
No.
I sure don't.
No, certainly not consistently. This was kind of a strange game, this Detroit.
It was. It was
Green
a weird
Bay
one.
Game. Ton of turnovers was, you know, watching the Red Zone channel as I'm wont to do when the Steelers aren't playing. And it seemed like they couldn't get away from that game. There was something wacky happening just at every turn. He's not going to get 25 carries at a time. He has been, even coming out of that game, was criticized by the Packers' coaching staff, which I find interesting. And why do you give him the ball 25 times? I find it interesting. Just something to keep an eye on. I'm not going to run out if I got a high waiver priority. If I get a low waiver priority and somebody on my bench that's just taking up space, I'll grab him. You never know. For a couple weeks last year, he looked like a legitimate fantasy star. Well, maybe not star, but a legitimate fantasy contributor. Just fell off the face of the earth and then had the injury issue. This is a guy, if I have him, I'm going to keep an eye on it. If I got a low waiver claim, why wouldn't you?
That's what you do. I mean, I went out in the main league that me and you play in. I grabbed Andre Brown about 5 weeks ago off the wire. Had him stashed on the bench, not playing him. But I tell you what, the way Bradshaw, they keep bringing up this foot injury, he may become very valuable. You just never know.
Yeah, no question about it.
Okay, I'm going to give out – how can I not give out a game ball to Matt Schaub?
I think you got to bring that one up.
The guy just pulled into second all-time yards per game behind only Sid Luckman and, 527 yards.
Sid Luckman.
Oh, jeez. that's just pathetic.
What do you mean it's pathetic? Who's Sid Luckman?
You call yourself someone knowledgeable about football.
Yeah. In the Super Bowl era.
It's just hideous.
Well, he played in the 40s, so you watched him at the polo grounds or something, and I'm supposed to know who he is.
Everybody else does on television, even ESPN, the NFL Network.
They pretend
Lord.
They do. Those guys are younger than me. They don't know who Sid Luckman is. So who's Sid Luckman? Come on.
He was a quarterback.
Well, I figured
as
much.
I believe he played for the Bears, I believe.
Movies that you don't even know.
I didn't say that.
Was it on in black and white?
History.
Was it on TV when Mr. Luckman played?
Couldn't tell you. I wasn't alive.
And if it was, you weren't alive? Oh, God, that doesn't count at all. Congratulations, Matt Schaub. You are the top-rated per-game receiver.
Oh, no, he tied somebody, which you don't know that either.
Who'd he tie? Boomer Esiason, or did he beat him?
He beat Boomer.
All right. So he was right ahead of Boomer.
Yeah.
All right, let's move past.
See, even the chat room says he was a quarterback.
Well, I know that. I know.
Oh,
obviously,
there you go.
He wouldn't be on that list if he wasn't a freaking quarterback. I understand.
Everybody knows he was a quarterback.
They don't know who he was, though. They know
sure
he was a quarterback.
Yeah, of course they do. I believe he played for Chicago. All kidding aside, I think he's a Chicago Bear quarterback.
Well, good for Mr. Luckman. Yeah. I'm happy.
And that wasn't the issue. Second all time is the issue, and you have to turn around.
It was
to nitpick into some stupid argument.
It was a simple question, and you and all your
sock and a sock.
You and all your cronies in the chat room had to attack me.
Ooh.
because the chat room has become the domain of Rick Briggs. It's Rick Briggs Central in there.
Now you know what Flieger thinks of you, don't you?
Because you won't let me in the chat room, because apparently when I go in the chat room, it screws you up or something, is what you're telling me. I think you're using it to turn our audience against me instead of Flieger in Briggs.
You do that on
Flieger
your own,
pal. Briggs.
You do that on your own.
So you have used this as an opportunity to alienate our faithful listeners against me.
All you do is open your mouth, and that's what happens. That size 13 starts choking you.
I rather enjoy the chat room. However, you guys have all become simpatico, and I become persona non grata is what's happened. And it's your fault.
What'd you do, jot those letters down and try to sign them out? You tried to spell P.A. Jets fan, probably.
Oh, I don't know how this all happened over Sid Luckman. Wow.
Our lucky day.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah, lucky day. Oh, you're full of bad puns today. My God. Thank God this show's almost over.
It's a holiday edition. Aren't you thankful?
I'm thankful. That's what we should do. That would have been a good bit. What are you thankful? We're going to do that on Friday. Write that down, actually. Preview for Friday. What we're thankful for fantasy football-wise, because I'm not thankful for, Rick Briggs and, that's
no, because, you fell to Rick Briggs this week in fantasy football, which just skirt. No, it just,
I had Matt Schaub on the bench, too. I can't believe you haven't, we're 50 minutes into this show, 55 minutes, and you haven't pointed that out yet.
Yeah. Why should I point it out? I don't pour salt in the wound.
Yes, you do.
No, I do not do that. I'm a good sport.
Enough with the soundboard. All right, I don't know where we're at. I'm going to give a stinky sock, though, I think.
Somebody. Well, we're talking about Matt Schaub. Oh. I just gave a game ball to Matt Schaub.
So then, yeah, I think I owe a stinky sock then. I already mentioned this guy, not his fault, but Larry Fitzgerald, one grab for 11 yards. Look, you can't bench Larry Fitzgerald, but it's going to be bad for the rest of the year. I don't know. Who do you bench him for, though? Do it at your own peril, unless you have a – you know, back to that Randall Cobb issue, I'd play Randall Cobb over Larry Fitzgerald every week.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, I think you can go down Denarius Moore, Fitzgerald.
Denarius Moore.
All right. You know, I don't want to get too crazy on some of these things because it is Larry Fitzgerald. But, you said Randall Cobb. What about Crabtree?
No, I wouldn't have the guts to do it. I probably should, but I wouldn't have the guts to do that one.
All right. Bo?
there's that creep again. I'm playing Fitzgerald over Bo if I have the choice.
Cecil Shorts.
Oh. It's got to be Cecil Shorts, doesn't it?
It almost has to be this time.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think it does. Cecil Shorts is averaging about 7 grabs a game. I think you play him over Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys right now that look a lot more attractive than Larry Fitzgerald.
They do on a week to week.
Especially when you're trying to either get in the playoffs or solidify your position, that kind of thing. Do you really want to risk it? Knowing, I mean, I don't know how many. I'd have to look. I mean, and that's something I'm going to do before Friday. But I've got to just get the trend of Fitzgerald's stats, because I know the last 3 or 4 games, he's nothing.
It's just been a complete disaster, no question about it. So what just happened? I gave a stinky sock. I think we need one from you. We got about a minute and a half of these left.
I've got to give my stinky sock, and it's a good one, to Titus Young.
Yeah.
Yet again, he has a 2-cent head on his shoulders. Apparently, Schwartz is going to bench him for the game Thursday for more of his shenanigans. And, you know, this guy is just a real creep.
And you talk about the inmates running the asylum and what a disaster of the asylum. I worked that in. But what a disaster that Detroit locker room is. How bad is what you did have to be to get suspended by Jim Schwartz, who has turned that into romper room at Ford Field? What did he have to do for Schwartz to suspend him?
I don't know. Just this week, you know, I've saw reports where Dominican Sue doesn't push himself. He's soft. You know, he's playing soft. Of course, we all know everything with Titus Young. We know everything with, you know, Nick Fairley before, although he's been playing well as of late. But just, yeah, and I've said it from the very beginning. I think they're out of control and they're not coached very well.
Yeah, but that's the point. So what did he have to do for Schwartz to suspend him? I'd love to hear. I couldn't even imagine what the man has done.
Yeah, it ought to be fun. It'll come out, I'm sure.
All right, Rick. Well, mercifully, this show is over after I've alienated a good portion of our listening audience. And there's been a further wedge driven between us, apparently, over Sid Luckman. Mercifully, the show is
over. Oh, yeah, that'll really drive us apart.
Enjoy your holiday. Thank you to everyone for listening at AsylumFantasyFootball.com and 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock. We are not shopping. We're not taking a holiday. We'll be back Friday at 8 o'clock in our regular time slot.
Yes, indeed. So enjoy the games on Turkey Day. Eat a lot, and then get ready to be nauseated on Friday when we come back on.
Absolutely. We will nauseate. We'll answer your questions, even on Thanksgiving. Hit us up on Twitter, at Asylum Football. So until Friday, we'll see you.
Take care.
Elgin. Yeah, we're cracking up ACDC, Hank Skinner, George Strait. Where's the good?